If you're an even moderately tech-savvy person, you probably know about the website Pandora. It now has 60 million users. You choose an artist or a piece of music, and then Pandora creates a web stream catering to that taste. Sometimes Pandora acts like a really smart DJ who can perfectly anticipate my mood. Other times, it leaves me wondering, how did it make that leap? I invited the chief LA Times pop critic Ann Powers to take a spin on Pandora with me. I understand you are not a user of Pandora.
I am a Pandora virgin.
What they do, what we do, and I'll let you go first since you're the expert and the virgin, is create a new station. You say, I want to go with this artist or this song or this composer. So who's your choice?
Well, I am going to challenge the system a little bit, and I'm going to ask for Janelle Monáe. Now, she's a new artist who released a really wonderful album this year, The Arc Android. She's influenced by Prince and David Bowie, I think.
Let me type in Janelle Monáe and searching the Music Genome Project. We are now creating a station that will explore songs and artists that have musical qualities similar to the artist Janelle Monáe. This is Solange, an artist I've never heard of, singing God-Given Name.
Solange is Beyoncé's sister.
Well, there you go.
That's a very canny choice on Pandora's part because, like Janelle Monáe, who works with Of Montreal, Solange has reached out from her R&B-based world and worked with indie rockers. She covered a Dirty Projectors song called Silence is the Move. That is probably why they picked her, because she's like an eclectic, arty R&B chick.
We can click on Why Was This Song Selected, which I will now do, and it tells us, based on what you've told us so far, we're playing this track because it features modern R&B stylings, electronica influences, mild rhythmic syncopation, repetitive melodic phrasing, and extensive vamping.
Ooh, I want some vamping.
Let's see what they give us next. It's Jill Scott.
Jill Scott is another artist who set the stage for Janelle Monáe, set the stage for Solange. She's been around longer, but she definitely qualifies as a kind of like alterna diva in the R&B world. In the history of contemporary divas, she fits.
What's interesting is, of course, Pandora doesn't have any of that history and personal connection and influence in a cultural sense in mind. It literally is only looking at, you know, musical similarities.
I know. Well, what's interesting is that it makes me think about how history is embedded right there in the beat.
Yes.
However, I must say,
yeah,
I'm getting a little sleepy here, Kurt.
Okay, so we're going to start a new station.
Let's have the Carter family.
The Carter family.
Let's go all the way back.
Well, I wonder how the old folks are at home. Well, I wonder.
That's the Carter family. And now,
here we get Dolly.
It gives us Hank Williams. See, but I wonder how they describe that, since they don't in the description. They pretend not to be considering era. It says country roots, bluegrass influences, folk influences, acoustic sonority, and major key tonality.
Acoustic sonority.
Now, who should we add to this to see if we get something interesting?
Ludacris?
Ludacris. Good, yes. Yeah, it gave us Woody Guthrie after adding Ludacris. I don't know about that.
Woody Guthrie saying of the common man, ludicrous raps about the common person, sort of.
You're making a heroic attempt, Anne.
Add Yo-Yo Ma, see what happens.
Oh, that's a good idea. It wants me to add Yo-Yo Man by John Mayall. Essentially, it's saying, do you really mean Yo-Yo Ma? Well, it's giving us ludicrous.
I mean, I do want to know if there's any way, using their algorithms, that we could have a station that really crossed genres. Because I think people today, especially, really aren't staying within narrow taste streams.
Yep.
You know, they want to put a Miranda Lambert record next to a Janelle Monáe record, next to a Jimi Hendrix record.
Next to Satie, yeah.
Next to Satie, right. That's totally my jam. So how do we get to the point where we can honor our own eclectic tastes and still have this service, you know, work for us?
Ann Powers, thank you very much.
Thanks. This was fun.
It was really fun. Ready, unstoppable, dynasty, young over. I'm a hustler, baby. Now, Pandora is a machine, but there's a lot of human labor and musical expertise behind the scenes.
You know, the smartest, most capable machine is the human ear by a wide margin.
Tim Westergren founded Pandora 10 years ago. Westergren and his partners created what they call the Music Genome Project. They've got a small army of professional musicians and technicians who analyze thousands of songs a month, trying to tease out the building blocks of each one and then loading that information into the computer. Your Pandora algorithm categorizes any piece of music by many hundreds of attributes. How many are there now?
They're close to 400.
Some of them seem slightly vague, at least at first glance, like synthetic sonority. What does that mean, for instance?
Yeah, that refers to the use of synthetic sounds in a piece. And there are different kinds of attributes. We also call them musical genes in the genome. Some deal with specific instruments and what the role and the sound of the instrument is. Some are kind of more broadly compositional and sonoric, so with the overall sound. And the predominance of synthetic sounds in a song is kind of a general aesthetic measurement.
Do these several staff people working independently to deconstruct and categorize a given piece of music come up with different classifications? Do they argue about it?
Yeah, they do. Take, for example, the level of vibrato in a singer's voice. The term vibrato isn't an objective term. Everybody knows what it means. The question is how much of it. How much is a lot? If you took 15 super talented musicians and put them in a room and said, how much vibrato does Mariah Carey have on a scale of 1 to 10, they'd all come up with different answers. So we spend a lot of time actually getting them on the same kind of standardization. So literally assigning different values to different examples.
I wanted Westergren to walk me through the process of analyzing a song. So I called up a selection from a Pandora station that I'd created. That's the song Right On by the band The Roots with Joanna Newsom. What are some of the attributes that you would assign to that?
So, I mean, the first one, it's in 4-4. It's a very basic meter. There's obviously a hip-hop feel in there, and I was hearing some scratching intermixed in with I couldn't tell if the drum set was acoustic or synthetic drum set, but definitely a hip-hop feel mixed in with some percussion. I think I heard cowbell in there. And then you've got the singer whose voice is really reverbed, which gives it this kind of ethereal quality. Those are the first things that jumped out at me.
Well, your machine, that is Pandora, says East Coast rap, R&B, funk, and exaggerated enunciation.
Those attributes are what we call focus traits. What they've done is they've pulled together, in the case of East Coast rap, kind of a combination of this, the rhythmic style, the sounds themselves, the form of the rap, and collectively that gives you this categorization.
Right. In real genomics, a certain gene would have a number and another gene would have a number, but together they would be the structure that causes type 1 diabetes.
A hand.
Yeah, or a hand or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah, and East Coast rap is hand rather than
exactly.
Gene 428AG.
The beauty, I think, of the music genome itself as a system is that an artist doesn't inhabit a bucket. They move around. And
right.
Their neighbors also don't inhabit buckets. And as you thumb up and thumb down songs, you're creating a station that actually is kind of this pan-bucket station.
In which mutations can freely happen.
Exactly. You could argue that thumbs up and thumbs down are creating mutations.
Right, exactly.
I like that. I like that.
Pandora's engine is not all-knowing or perfect. It doesn't even try to classify lyrics. Ann Powers of the LA Times pointed out, Pandora can't really address the reality of people's eclectic musical tastes. So I asked Mr. Pandora, the better the system works, are there fewer opportunities for me to be surprised?
I think there's some truth in the sense that Pandora definitionally is keeping you in a particular musical neighborhood, but I think within there's always going to be lots of surprises. And then I think, you know, the other thing we use is what's called a quick mix, where you can create stations and mix them all together. And then you can always launch a genre station and take your first dive into Latin music, and using your thumbs, you'll find yourself in a whole new place.
Little surprisingly, Pandora doesn't look just for hit songs. It doesn't care what's in the iTunes top 10 or what your friends or the Cognoscenti like. It just keeps running through its giant database of songs looking for things that match your taste. How many pieces of music do you now have?
About 750,000.
By what rate does that grow?
We add around 10,000 a month. You know, the beauty of this thing is it's never going to end.
Tim Westergren is the founder and chief strategy officer of Pandora.
Bring on your hunters and let them bring the dogs. It's me that you wanted. I've been right here all along.